just in case you weren't aware of it, you didn't come to church today. I don't know if you use that terminology a lot. I know it's like splitting hairs, but I want to bring this reality to the forefront here, that you didn't come to church. This place right here where we meet, this nice building that we have, this property is not the church. We are the church of the living God. We are the living stones, according to Scripture, that make up the temple of God, the dwelling place of the Lord. You didn't come to church today. We are the church of the living God, living worshipers, a temple together, alive in Christ. We are the temple of the living God, where His presence resides, where He shows Himself powerful, where He anoints and ministers. This group right here is the church of the living God. We are the church. We didn't come to church. And I'm thankful to be the house of God today. You know, so we could literally, we could step outside, you know, go down 85, walk up as a, you know, stand on the corner of 16 and 85 and get together and talk about the Scripture. And it's the representation of the church of the living God outside these doors. Again, I know it's splitting hairs, it's semantics, but we wake up every day and we say, where are you going to go to church? Are we going to go to church? We are the church of the living God. We are living worshipers of the King. We've been in a series of talks entitled An Everyday Encounter for the past couple of months, and we've been discussing some ways that we as the church can encounter the life-giving, powerful presence of God on a daily basis. Not just in our 2-hour and 15-minute sacred moment, 2-hour, 15-minute, 2-hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, however it works out in this setting. We need to encounter the life-giving power of the presence of God, not just here in these sacred moments that we carve out during our week, but every day of our life. Every day of our life. God has not brought us from death to life, out of our trespasses into righteousness and holiness, just so that we can come here every week and sing a couple of songs and hear somebody tell a story about Jesus. But He has brought us from death to life, out of our trespasses into righteousness and holiness, so that we could be living sacrifices, living worshipers, living stones that make up the temple, the dwelling place of the living God. He has called you and me as the church of the living God, so that we can change the atmosphere of this community, so that as we go out of these doors refreshed and refilled on the Word of God and in the presence of the Lord as we worship Him collectively today, we go out in this place and the atmosphere literally shifts, not because we are simply there, but because we and the Holy Spirit are there. Is that awesome? I love that. We've talked about and demonstrated our passion for the Word of God. We said that the Word of God is preeminent. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. It needs to guide every part of our life. It needs to shape our lives. It needs to transform us. It needs to be a work of transformation in our life as we let it settle into our heart. And we've also talked and demonstrated the need for the urgency of prayer in our lives. For the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about prayer and how it is a necessity for our lives that we connect with God and communicate with Him and hear from Him and pray to Him. And today we'll begin a series of talks about worship and how that is totally necessary to have an everyday encounter of the life-giving power of God. Worship is essential in our everyday lives. Just kind of a quick survey. When I say worship, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Anybody? music, singing, praising, jumping around. What's it? God, okay. Anybody else? Come on, Sarah, you got one. What's it? Okay. Anybody else? Focus on God. So there's a lot of different perspectives as we talk about worship and what that means and witnessing, okay? We'll try to talk. We're probably not going to cover like a full expression of what worship is. I've asked Robert to speak next week on worship, and I'm excited about that. Sean will also speak on worship in the near future. But today, I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to try to paint a broad picture of what worship is in our lives and what it means for us to worship. So I'm going to read this passage, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Some of your versions may be a little bit different, but you should be able to follow along. Verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Everybody say spiritual worship. Just make sure you're awake. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Lord, I just ask that you would put power on your word today. I pray for my tongue, Lord, that you would anoint me. God, settle my heart today, Lord. Settle me today, Lord, that I could be an effective oracle of God. That you would empower me to speak your words with boldness, with clarity, Lord. And I just pray that you would empower us all today to hear your word. And Lord, not just hear it, but Lord, let it change us. Let it transform us, Lord, into look like you a little bit more, Lord. Lord, I pray if there be any thought in me that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, that you would arrest me even now, God. Pray for your spirit to make yourself known in me, Lord, that I can minister as you've called me to, Lord. Soften our hearts today. Open our ears, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you woke up today, it's very likely that you asked a question that sounds a lot like this, maybe. Maybe if you're a faithful worshiper here with the Vineyard, you asked, I wonder how God's presence will be revealed in our worship today. Or perhaps, I wonder how many people will be in worship today. Maybe one of us asked, do I really have to go to worship today? April quickly answered, yes, you have to go. You're the pastor. If you're visiting with us today, perhaps you asked, where should we worship today? Or, are you serious? You really want to go back to the Vineyard this week? Those chairs facing each other really freaked me out last week. Possibly you woke up and asked, what should I wear to worship in today? Maybe some of these questions hit close to home for a Sunday in your household, but let me ask you this question. Will you ask those same questions tomorrow when you wake up? As you head off to work, will you ask the question, I wonder how God's presence will be revealed in me today as I worship him? I wonder how many people will worship God today? Where should I worship today? In our society, in our culture, in this American culture that we live in, church seems to be these sacred moments carved out of a secular, largely secular week where you go to worship and then you go home and go to your business, or go to your secular life. And I would suggest to you today that Romans, the Apostle Paul, to the letter to the Romans, says to us that our lives should be offered or presented to God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. This is your spiritual worship. Again, I started the conversation today with the fact that we say we go to church, and it's splitting hairs, but it does something in our minds when we say we're going to church, or we're going to worship, or we're going to a place. It really undermines the fact that we are the church of the living God. We are living worshipers. And we say we go to church and we're going to spend a couple of hours in worship, and then the rest of our week is spent on ourselves and worshiping ourselves and our own pleasure and our own desires. We wake up in the morning, and I would suggest to you, maybe it's not the case for everybody. Sometimes it's, you know, probably more times than not, it's not the case for me. How is God's presence going to be revealed in me today as I worship Him, as I offer my life to Him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable? When I speak to my wife, will the Lord be reverenced and worshiped in me today? When I raise my children, will the Lord be glorified in me today? When I speak and encounter people in my business, will the Lord be honored and worshiped today? And God has called us to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. So what is this spiritual worship? It's probably a gross oversimplification, but spiritual worship is offering one's whole life as a sacrifice to God. Verse 1 in Romans 12 uses this language to describe spiritual worship, that we are to be living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable. I'm not exactly sure what comes to your mind when you think of sacrifices, or when you hear the word sacrifices. For me, it brings up some pretty morbid pictures. A bloody animal dead on the altar. Paul uses this imagery for a reason. Because up to that time, up to the time when Christ came and offered what we sang about once and for all, the sacrifice for all mankind, poured out His blood, up to that time, the priest would continually go to worship God. And that worship would entail offering sacrifices. They would cut the animal and the blood would pour out on the altar. And then in some cases, they would eat the animal till there was nothing left. This was what worship was, offering sacrifices to God so that the blood would be poured on the altar and we would have for one more year atonement for our sin. He uses this language purposefully because that culture understood and knew what it meant to sacrifice something. But he throws a little caveat in there and he says, you are to be living sacrifices. I would suggest to you that he says that you should offer your whole body, everything you have, your whole life as a living sacrifice to God. That your whole life would be consumed with pleasing and worshiping God. Everything you do. Paul says it like this, whether you eat or drink, do all that you do to the glory of God. So even down to the most fundamental things of our day, eating and drinking, the Bible tells us to worship and glorify God. I also suggest to you that Paul added this little caveat so we wouldn't be sacrificing humans or anything. You know, when he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, they might have said, hey, what's he talking about? We're supposed to offer human sacrifices or something? Paul gives us some new perspective on what it means to offer sacrifices to God in worship. Instead of the conventional sacrifice that results in the dead body, Paul uses the word living to indicate that we are to be alive worshipers of God every day of our life. But what does this really mean? To be a living sacrifice to God in spiritual worship, what does this mean? I'd just like to point out three practical things from the text that reveal to us this spiritual kind of worship. First of all, being a living sacrifice has everything to do with being transformed and not conformed. Verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable will of God." Let's take a look really quickly. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a really close parallel to this perspective in Romans chapter 12. Ephesians 4, verse 18 through 24. I'll try to relate what this is actually saying and bring it back to what it means to be a living sacrifice. Ephesians 4, starting with 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness, to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul tells us here that there's a close connection with the heart and the mind. Some of you might say, what does it mean to renew your mind? Do we have to think harder about Jesus and so we will become living sacrifices? Our mind will be renewed and then we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We have to think more about him. I would suggest to you that with this in connection with Ephesians 4, that's not simply the case. There's a connection with the heart and the mind. He says in verse 18, they were darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them. So there's this language about thought and mind and understanding and ignorance. And what does he say the problem is? The hardness of the heart. When the heart is hard, you're ignorant to the things of God. When the heart is hard to God, you don't have understanding. You are alienated from God. If the heart is hard, if that has to do with ignorance and alienation from God, then being renewed in the spirit of your mind with the things of God through his word, through prayer, by his spirit, softens the heart to what pleases God. And as a result, transforms you into his likeness. So we see a dichotomy here. We see a hard heart produces alienation and ignorance of God. But the renewal of the mind softens the heart to the things of God, stirs up the fallow ground, and God's word and communication with him and his spirit enlightens us that we can know him and worship him. We can know what pleases him. You know, oftentimes we come to our service and we leave here today and we say, how was your worship service today? And my thought is we need to be asking that to God. God, how was the worship service today? Did we rightfully honor you? Did we do the things that please you? Did we hallow your name? Were you worshiped today? Were you honored in our meeting today? Otherwise, if it's hey, the music stunk today, I just really couldn't get into it. We just need to go home. Because we are here to worship the living God. And when we leave here today, our mouth should say, Lord, were you honored in our meeting today? And I'll suggest to you, as we go and we get up out of bed tomorrow, when our feet hit the ground, Lord, be worshiped today by me. How can I worship you today? Can I worship you with my mouth, or will I grumble and complain about every situation of life? Can I worship you as I relate to my wife, or will I beat her down with my words and so dishonor you? Can I be truthful on my job, or will I steal and connive and so dishonor you? We are called to be living worshipers, living sacrifices. And I'll suggest to you that the Word says to us to renew your mind, and so the depths of your heart would be stirred, and the ground would get broken, and you would begin to receive by the Spirit the washing of the Word and the communication with Him as you pray to Him. And those things would tell you what is pleasing to God. Renew your mind, so that you can understand what is the will of God, what is holy and acceptable to Him. Paul is not telling us to think harder in order to be transformed, but that as we look away from the world and continually peer into Him and renew our mind with the truth of who He is, our hearts will be transformed by God. Secondly, being a living sacrifice has everything to do with the worth of the one you are living for. I don't know about you, but I can't even fathom worshiping a God who's not all-powerful, who's not creator of heaven and earth, who's not from beginning to end, who has no sin. I can't imagine a God, worshiping a God, that's not all of those things. I told the guys we had up here, my kids and some kids we brought from the neighborhood, this is what we're doing today. We are gathering together to worship the creator of heaven and earth. You have breath because God has given it to you today. You have life because God has given it today. And He deserves our worship. They looked at me like I was from another planet, but that's okay. In verse 2, the words, by testing you may discern, translates the Greek verb, I can't even say it, dokimazo, which often has the sense of finding out the worth of something by putting it to use or testing it in actual practice. So say, for instance, Luke 14:19 says this, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. The word examined is the same word here for testing or discerning. He's examining the oxen to see if they're worth anything. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Same word, test. Is your work for the Lord, is it gonna stand the test? Is it going to be worth anything? 2 Corinthians 8:22. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we've often tested and found earnest in many manners. Tested. We've tested him. He has shown himself faithful. We are sending him. So the word here, when it says, by testing you may discern, being a living sacrifice has everything to do with the worth of the one you're sacrificing to. If we don't have a high view of God as the creator, the awesome God, all of those words that Brian spoke out, if we don't have that kind of view of God, that He really is our deliverer, He really is our light and our salvation, He really is our redeemer, He really is from beginning to end, He really is Alpha and Omega, He is really God, if we don't have that view of Him, then our worship falls short. Worship, as living sacrifices has everything to do with our view of who we worship. Is God worth anything? Have you tested that you may discern what is the will of God? What is good and acceptable? So worship has everything to do with the worth of the one we worship. The renewed, transforming mind finds ultimate worth in God and ultimate purpose in God's good, acceptable, perfect will. So as living sacrifices, we offer ourselves to Him and we say, our worth is in you. My worth is not found in my wife. My worth is not found in my kids. My worth is not found in my job. My worth is not found in what I do on a daily basis. My worth and my existence is found in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, for He is worthy of my worship. That is what life of being a worshiper is all about, that our worth is found in Him. He's worth everything. Everything. He's amazing. And if we have a low view of God, that we just come to church or do our things here and there, this is going to become rote and routine and lifeless. It will be death. It will be flesh. And the scripture says the flesh profits nothing. I told somebody this past week, you know, I said, I am willing to die for Jesus Christ. I'm willing to give my life for the sake of the gospel. But I am not willing to give my life for the sake of 2 hours every Sunday. Don't get me wrong. I've said this a lot today. I love, this is a huge, huge part of what we do here at the church. With the church. This is very primary to us, the gathering, the corporate gathering. But what I don't want this to do is sacrifice the fact that we are to be living stones, temples of worship built up to God, offering living sacrifices to Him every day that we live. And if we ever come into the Americanized mindset that we go to church as opposed to being the church and living as living stones and sacrifices to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then we're toast. Because I can't entertain you guys enough to keep you coming back for more. Being a living sacrifice is simply coming to every day with a heart that says this, I want nothing more. I want nothing more than to present myself to the one who is worthy. I want nothing more than to look upon the one who is most beautiful. I want nothing more than to treasure the one who is most valuable. I want nothing more than to live to the one who is most holy. That's what worship is. You don't have to strike up the band to live in that kind of experience. And finally, being a living sacrifice has everything to do with presenting your bodies to God. Verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says, I appeal to you therefore by the mercies of God. He had just spent chapter 1 through chapter 11 talking about the mercies of God, that we are all sinful, we've all fallen short. God's Son came to redeem us. His blood was poured out for us. The Israelites rejected Him so that we Gentiles could come to Him. All of this stuff is about the mercies of God in our life. And He says, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. holy and acceptable to Him, which is your spiritual worship. I'm not going to read it, but in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 19, I'd encourage you to go back and read that. But there's a couple of verses that we have a very distinct parallel. He says in verse 13, 16, and 19, he says to present your members. He's talking about being your former life being slaves to sin, your former life being slaves to what's not of God, but present your members as slaves to righteousness. He says, you know, he really connects this idea about being transformed by the renewal of your mind. Put off the old self, he says, and put on the new, which is presenting yourself to God, living for Him, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. So will my hands glorify God? Will my feet worship God today? Will my eyes worship God today? Will my whole body be an expression of life-giving worship to God today? He says, present your members. Not in the old way where you used to take it upon yourself for all kinds of impurity and sensuality, but present your members to God as slaves to righteousness, because this is what pleases Him. In my estimation, worshipful living has a whole lot more to do with honoring and glorifying God with our whole life, actions, words, and thoughts than it does to carving out worshipful moments in the middle of the week or the end of the week or the beginning of the week. It's about presenting our whole life to God, our whole body to God, our thoughts, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our legs, our sexual organs. Sorry if there's kids. Everything to God. Present our whole body, our members to God as living sacrifices of worship. It's the only way He's honored. It's the only way His presence gets revealed. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God." You are not your own. You are living stones that are being placed strategically to build up the beautiful temple, the dwelling place of the living God, so that His presence, His powerful, life-giving, holy presence can come and dwell in the midst of us. That's what me and you are. We are living stones being built up to a beautiful temple where God's presence will come and dwell. And when His presence is here, the scripture says, there's fullness of joy that Debbie talked about. There's redemption for sin. There's healing by His body and the stripes that were put on Him. There is joy. There is peace. And this is what God has called us to, friends. We've been talking about here lately, and I'm hoping to, in the next couple of weeks, just lay out what we have, been toiling through as far as the words that describe who we are. But one thing that's just come out so naturally is that we are alive together. And the fact that we have been brought from death to life, and we are now here together expressing glory and honor to God, not just in this place, but as we leave this place and go and change the atmosphere of our community, because Jesus Christ, the living God, the maker of heaven and earth, is here among us. God is good. He's worthy of our worship. He is worthy of everything we have. He's worthy of our Sunday mornings from 9 to whatever time we get done. He's worthy of our Mondays from all day long, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He's worthy of every second that you're alive, that you would present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. It says it pretty clear. This is spiritual worship. So as we close, I'm just going to, since we have the opportunity, I'm going to take the fact that we're in tables and group together. I'd like to just take a second to unpack this. What does this really mean for us in life? What does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to present your bodies to God? What are some practical steps that we can take to worship God in everyday life? I literally want an everyday experience of the life-giving power of God. I know it's not just for this meeting right here, but he wants us to encounter him in life-giving power and presence every day. Every day. So just take a moment as we close. I'll come back and close in prayer in just a few minutes, but just talk amongst yourselves. About what it is to worship God. What does it really mean to present your bodies to God in worship? And what are some practical steps you can take, to worship God in everyday life? And we'll come back here in just a few minutes.